The following podcast is brought to you by the Station of the Cross. Thank you for listening.
You're listening to Calling All Catholics with Father Mike Mayer, and I'm your host, Mike Denz. And if you have a question, and this is an open forum day, you can call with anything, whether it's about devotions or about any matters of the Catholic faith you'd like to ask Father Mike. It's 877-511-5483. That's 877-511-LIVE. You can also email us. The email is cac@thestationofthecross.com. Or you can post a question or comment on Facebook at the Station of the Cross Catholic Radio. Father, we do have a prayer request that was emailed to us to start us out. And I will read it to you. Please pray for my cousin Effie, who husband died of a heart attack on Saturday. He had no prior problems. It was sudden. Also pray for longtime friend Monty, who had heart surgery 2 weeks ago. Okay, and has, and he's not done well, I guess, in his recovery.
All right, let's just take a moment to pray for Effie and all those others who are in need. Monty, loving God, we thank you for your gift of life. We thank you for the gift of faith. We thank you for your death and resurrection so that we need not be afraid of suffering and death, but may embrace them as ways to come closer to you. Bless all those who are in need, especially Effie and Monty, as they undergo these trials and testings and sufferings, that this path may be a way of strengthening their faith. We ask this through Christ our Lord.
Amen. All right.
And I invite listeners to call in. What kind of favorite personal piety or devotion do you have? How did you learn about it? Why is it a favorite of yours? And one of the reasons why it's good to talk about these things is because they really play an important part. And the church encourages them appropriately, encourages them because they can help us day to day, remind us of our faith in God and what God has done for us, but also because they're popular, that word popular or personal. There's that sense of we can come to a particular attraction or have a particular attraction to something. So, someone who may be laid up for a long time, perhaps the rosary is going to be a personal devotion that will be very strong in their lives because it's easy to say. You can feel the beads as you pray it. That's a plus. It's a tangible thing. We go through the scripture as we say the rosary, remembering very important elements in the life of Christ, the life of the Blessed Mother, the life of the church, so that it's good to hear why people have particular devotions. And I want to exclude things like, because I get these in the mail all the time, email, a chain letter, for example. Send this out and you will be blessed by the Lord. Well, the church would say that is a superstition. That's not appropriate. And what we're talking about are people about choosing something because we know it helps us draw closer to God, not a magical sort of thing that if I say this five times with focus that something's going to happen, or if I imagine and focus on this one thing, it will occur. No, that's not the point, because we believe that God is always showering us with many graces and giving us always what we need at every moment so that we can be faithful. And if people say, well, God didn't answer my prayer, well, he did answer it. We're not listening for the answer. His answer may have been no to specifically what we asked for, but it was yes in 1,000 other ways. So we need to be aware of that when we're talking about these devotions, that they're not magical formulas, but rather ways that connect to the liturgy so that we can deepen our relationship with God.
Father, we have a call from Scott in Rochester, and he's on the line with us. Scott, you're on with Father Mike.
Hey, Father. It's Scott Davis from Rochester. Do you remember me?
I certainly do, Scott. How you doing?
Good. Feeling great today.
Good. Very good.
Question for you really quick. I go out, to the sidewalk out in front of Planned Parenthood, and one time there was a woman who rolled out a window. She gave her name. And she says, why don't you go after these priests who bothered the little boy? She rolled up the window and sped away. If she comes back again, which she, I'm not saying she's going to or she's not going to, but if she does, how could I appropriately answer her if she says that? And she's talking to me, how would I answer that?
Well, you could say that I will keep that in my prayer, your concerns, and may God bless you. You know, because, the fact that that's what she's focusing on, it's certainly an issue for her. Maybe in her family someone was abused, I don't know. But, and usually that's the case, not that they have somebody in the family, but there's issues which get in the way of seeing the bigger picture. So, like, you're focusing on life and protesting abortion, you know, she may not be open to that at all. But we can always say, look, I will pray for your concerns, and we can, and I will ask God to bless you abundantly. And I think it's a wonderful way of doing it. Rather than getting pulled into what can be some animosity or argument, which generally, when you're protesting an abortion clinic, it's probably not the best place to do it, unless the person themselves is, you can really tell that they want to engage in a dialogue. But to simply say, yeah, I will pray for you, and I will take your intentions to the Lord. God bless you.
Yes, and also, can you, and I'll hear the prayer over the radio, but can you put a prayer out there for the healing for my blindness, please?
Sure, will do, Scott.
I hope you have yourself a great day.
Thank you, you too. A loving God, bless Scott in his faith journey. Give him what he needs to be faithful. He asks to be healed of his blindness. Listen to his prayer that he may be open to your answer and continue to grow in strength and zeal and fervor for your kingdom. And no matter where he is, to proclaim your kingdom with great joy. We ask all these things through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
If you'd like to give us a call, if your question for Father Mike, the number is 877-511-5483. That's 877-511-LIVE. Or you can email us. The email is cac@thestationofthecross.com. Or you can post a question or comment on Facebook, the Station of the Cross Catholic Radio. Father, I had a question for you that I hear a lot from different people, and even it's happened to myself. When someone pushes a devotion on you as if you must do this, you must say the rosary every day, or you must be devoted to this or that particular saint, what's a good response?
Well, I would say, and this is good catechesis and evangelization, and say, look, my devotion is to Christ. I celebrate that and live it by celebrating the Eucharist at least once a week on Saturday evening or Sunday, because that is the devotion of the Church, so to speak. And when it comes to personal devotions or private devotions, everything else would be a personal choice, I can choose what I want or invent my own. I mean, there's very, very many prayer practices and devotions to a particular saint or a particular, let's say, apparition of the Blessed Mother, which really encourages us or grabs our attention, and that's fine. But the only thing, and we shouldn't even be pushing, obviously, the Mass onto other people, but rather in all these things, if we really want to sell something, and I mean that in the spiritual sense, let's show the joy of that practice and to say, you know, I pray the rosary every day, and it's really important for me because it gives me some time to sit quietly and think of the Lord. I mean, I think if we put it in a positive way, that is going to do a better job of encouraging someone, at least maybe to try that devotion, rather than push them away. But there's no popular devotion, popular piety that we have to include in our faith journey or our faith practices, except, as I say, for the liturgy, the sacraments. So, you know, to say to maybe engage the person, why is that important to you? What do you find helpful about that particular devotion? How did you come to it? And then if the person has the other person has another type of devotion, they can say, well, you know, I like this one, for example, the Chaplet of Divine Mercy. That's a wonderful chaplet. And, you know, maybe this year, because of some things I've been going through, that speaks to me in a particular way. Well, then to celebrate that and be grateful to God for that, and to simply say to other people, this is where I'm at in my personal devotion, where are you at, to share that sort of thing. But always to remember, this is a personal choice. And as I said at the beginning, there are hundreds of these personal devotions and ways of praying, ways of connecting with the mysteries of our faith, ways of connecting with God and deepening our relationship with God. And that's what all of these devotions, popular pieties are about. They're not ends in themselves, but rather they're means to coming to greater appreciation of Jesus Christ, and specifically of Jesus Christ in the Eucharist, because, as I said, that's a source and summit of our Christian lives. That's the greatest devotion that we have, because it's not just something I do on my own, but it's a community celebration, and the fullness of God's presence is there in a way that we don't find it in other devotions. Probably the closest we would come to that would be in Eucharistic adoration. But I would point out that Eucharistic adoration is not something to substitute for the Eucharist, the sacrament we call the Eucharist or the Mass, because that is an action of prayer and a reality of God's presence, whereas adoring the Lord in the Blessed Sacrament really should remind us of the Eucharist, what we celebrated, where from came the presence of Christ in the host. So again, everybody can choose whatever devotion they want, but it would be kind of counter to our faith to demand that other people see things the way we see them, or grab onto a devotion that we have that's very important to us simply because it is important to us.
Okay. You're listening to Calling All Catholics. We're waiting for your phone call. We have Father Mike Mayer here with us. He's a priest in the Diocese of Rochester, New York. And the number to call is 877-511-5483. That's toll-free, 877-511-5483. Father, what parish are you serving right now?
I'm currently in Geneva,
uh-huh.
And the parish is Our Lady of Peace, which is the union of two different parishes, St. Francis de Sales and St. Stephen.
And are there devotions that are popular among the parishioners in your parishes?
Well, actually, before both the 7 o'clock morning Mass and the 12:10 afternoon Mass daily, the people say the Rosary. So that's a very popular, probably that would be, I would say, worldwide, probably the most popular of all devotions. And it certainly goes back hundreds and hundreds of years, and I'll go into the history in a minute, but obviously we know that Blessed John Paul II added five mysteries. We call them the luminous mysteries, and the Rosary is a wonderful way of, a wonderful devotion, a wonderful way of praying, very scripturally based, and there's all different types of ways of praying the Rosary. You can read the scriptures that focus on a particular decade of the Rosary, a particular mystery, or, different varieties. But the basic practice, as we know, is five decades of Hail Marys, focusing, meditating as we're praying those on a particular mystery. So if we're doing the Sorrowful Mysteries, we're going to begin with the agony in the garden. And the point of the Rosary, too, again, it's not an end in itself, but a means to go deeper into our faith, going deeper into what we believe God did to bring about salvation. So, for example, as we are praying the 10 Hail Marys for that particular sorrowful mystery, the agony in the garden, what's going through our mind as we pray that? Are we thinking of how Christ, according to one of the scriptures, was so intense in his prayer that his sweat was as of blood, that he sweated blood? Are we aware of how he was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, where he said clearly to the Father, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass by, the cup of suffering. However, not my will, but your will be done. So it's a wonderful way of going deeper. So what we're doing is we're using the Hail Mary as a way of helping us to focus on a particular aspect or event in the life of Christ so that we can hopefully draw closer to Christ in gratitude.
Father, we have someone who left a message. They're listening on their iPod in Springdale, Arkansas, and it's Anna, and she asks her neighbor, Anna's neighbor asked her why Catholic priests can be married and have children. She never heard of this and does not understand. Also, a prayer request for her niece's husband who was killed 3 days ago and authorities unable to locate the body.
Hmm. Well, the first part is pretty easy. And Roman Catholics generally are ignorant of the variety of practices when it comes to priesthood. Now, we've always had, in certain parts of the church, or I could put it this way, and we talked about this a little bit quite a while ago, there are different Catholic churches that are in union with the Pope in Rome. So, for example, there is the Maronite Church, Catholic Church. That is a particular rite. They have their particular way of celebrating the Eucharist, not quite the way we do it in the Roman Rite, but it is the Eucharist. It is the Mass, and any Catholic can go to that celebration. We have Ukrainian Catholics. We have Melkite Catholics. And in many of those Catholic churches, and oftentimes there is a parallel Orthodox church, their practice throughout the centuries was that a man could marry, let's say, before becoming a deacon, ordination to the diaconate, or right after being ordained a deacon, and then still be ordained as a priest. So he would go into his priesthood as a married man. Now, that's growing a little bit, because in our Catholic Church today, we have the what we call the Anglican usage. I don't know if we call it a rite. It's a particular group of people who are coming out of the Episcopal Anglican Church, and let's say a Anglican priest converts, and most often they're married. He is ordained as a Catholic priest, and so he brings with him his wife and his children, and he is a legitimately ordained Catholic priest, and any Catholic can go to the celebration of his Mass. Then there are also situations. We have one in our own diocese in the last couple of years. A man who was a Protestant minister served in various Protestant denominations. He requested ordination from Rome, received permission, and he is a married Catholic priest. So, but that's still rare in the Roman Rite, because the general rule is celibacy. So we don't marry before we're ordained a priest. We don't marry after we're ordained a priest. And that's even true of permanent deacons. They may be married when they are permanent deacons, but let's say if by chance their spouse, the wife, should die, they generally are not allowed to marry. Under certain circumstances, let's say if there's young children, the permanent deacon can get permission to remarry, but that's far and few between. So there are married priests, but it's not what some people might think, that any Catholic priest at any time can go and marry. Now, once you're ordained a priest, that's it. If you're married before and got permission to be ordained, that's okay. But if you're celibate and ordained a Catholic priest, you can't marry. That's simply ruled out completely. So I would say go to some sources on the Internet to maybe Google married Catholic priests and look at the variety. I was on retreat last week with a Ukrainian Catholic priest. Married, has two children. He's always been married. And he runs his parish in Salem, Massachusetts. So there is a married Catholic priest. But he's in a different Catholic church, in union with me and with all other Catholics. But he has his own rite, the Byzantine rite, which he uses in celebrating the Eucharist. So hopefully people will look into that and not make assumptions. Because I know I still will talk to some people, Catholics, who say there's no such thing as a married Catholic priest, and yet there always have been. But you got to be careful about the history of it, what part of the church or which of the Catholic churches they're coming from, which allow for married men to be ordained as priests.
Father, we have a call from Sue in Rochester. Sue, you're on with Father Mike.
Hello, Father Mike. Thank you for taking my call. You know, you were talking about praying the rosary, and I just wanted to say that right around the Feast of Our Lady of Fatima on October 13th, of course, this year, the Saturday before the 13th, October 12th, Saturday the 12th, and all over the United States, there's going to be in the public square at different locations a living rosary, which mm-hmm. we do take part of in Honeyway Falls. And it's the group, America Needs Fatima is what mm-hmm. it's called. So children can be, you know, a bead, one of the beads on the rosary. And the event we're having, the Knights of Columbus, each night will be one of the Our Fathers on the rosary. So it's, you know, it's praying the rosary in the public square. So it's
and that's one of those devotions to Our Lady of Fatima, and taking seriously what Our Lady said about praying for reparation. And certainly there's a lot of things we need to pray for in terms of reparation or the root of that, repairing our culture. And that's a beautiful way of where the rosary can be both a personal prayer, private, or a public prayer form. As I said, at my parish now, the people say it together before the masses. They did it at St. Pius X in Chi Lai. And I know when I was in the city of Rochester, we had a group that did what you're talking about, the Living Rosary, come the Feast of Our Lady of Fatima. So it's a wonderful devotion as a way of taking seriously what we're called to do as Christians, whether we pray the rosary or not, to pray for forgiveness, to pray for mercy, to pray for reparation for sin.
Right. And it's a form of evangelization, too, you know, because doing it in the public square. And I just want to all add, too, that our parish, it's St. Mary Ann Pope, but at our worship site of Guardian Angels on Saturday at 3:30, the rosary is prayed before the 4 o'clock Mass.
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
we're doing that as well.
Wonderful. And
okay,
I think probably a lot of churches have that.
Thank
You're welcome, Sue.
On the radio. It's wonderful.
You're welcome.
You.
God bless you,
Bye
Sue.
Now. God bless. Bye.
And before I forget, Anna had asked for a prayer request for her niece's husband who was killed 3 days ago, and they couldn't find the body. So, Lord, help Anna and her family, her niece and her family, that they may get through this trauma and tragedy and keep their eyes focused on you and always keep expecting good things to come out of even the worst situations, because you are always there with your love and your mercy and your gentleness, so that we can truly grow in our faith. We ask all these things through Christ our Lord.
Amen. You're listening to Calling All Catholics. The phone number to ask Father a question or make a comment is 877-511-5483. That's 877-511-LIVE. We're talking a lot about devotions today, but any question on the Catholic faith is welcome. You can also email us. The email is cac@thestationofthecross.com. Now, Father, we obviously have to have a devotion to Jesus. You mentioned that. And
absolutely.
That takes its form. It must take a form for Catholics in the Mass and the other sacraments, but can mm-hmm. also be expressed in things like Divine Mercy Chaplet, devotion to mm-hmm. the Sacred Heart. Now, mm-hmm. how mm-hmm. are Catholics are also required to have somewhat a devotion to the Blessed Mother. Is that right?
Well, I would say that's just part and parcel with our devotion for the Lord, because we as Catholics and Orthodox would agree that Mary had a particularly important role in salvation history. And if you look at icons, Mary's always crowned, well, not always crowned, but often has a crown The baby has a crown. Mary has a crown. That's saying something to us. We also, as one of the mysteries of the rosary, we say the crowning of the Blessed Mother as Queen of Heaven. Now, when you think of it, she's a human being. And here she is being Queen of Heaven. And, some Protestants or fundamentalists might say, well, not, you're taking this ordinary human being and you're elevating her on this ivory. No, we're not. We believe that this is what God has done out of love. And it's not just about Mary, per se. It's showing to all of us the possibilities of the fullness of engaging or inheriting what Jesus inherited, that is the kingdom of heaven, everything. And Mary was the first of all of those, the greatest of all of those, because of her faith. But we say in the second Eucharistic prayer that we pray that we will be faithful so that we can be co-heirs with Christ. And what did Jesus inherit? Well, he was God, so he already had everything. And we're told that he sits at the right hand of the Father. Well, we're going to sit at the right hand of the Father, which is reserved for the divine, those who are divine. But that's what God's doing for us. He is making us into divine beings who can fully participate in his divine glory, his joy, his peace, all those wonderful things. Doesn't mean we're going to become God, but in some ways, like the Blessed Mother, who is fully sharing in that divine glory of God, we too one day will inherit the kingdom of heaven. So when we look at Mary, she's really part of our hope that here, it's already been proven through the Blessed Mother and her participation in the works of God in her life and on our behalf, that here we believe she is Queen of Heaven, a human being, a creature, and yet God has raised her up to this glory, and that we who are faithful one day will be raised up too to share in the fullness of God. So I don't know how you can be certainly a Catholic or an Orthodox member and not be pulled into this recognition of the importance of Mary and of her place in salvation history. Now, that doesn't mean, as I say, some people sometimes, the way, they may focus so much on Mary, you wonder if they actually have a relationship with Christ. Well, Mary, in reality, is always pointing to her son Jesus. It's not about Mary per se, but about what Mary did in her fidelity to her son. And that's the same with us. So people will say through Mary to Jesus. I think it's a good way of looking at it because, some people, for whatever reason, may have an easier time of connecting with the Blessed Mother, this wonderful, wonderful Blessed Mother who is interceding on our behalf. And we can get through her come to a deeper relationship with Christ. And of course, a lot of these personal practices do focus on the role of the Blessed Mother, but ultimately pointing to Jesus and what he has accomplished for us.
Father, we have a question from Margaret. She's from Western New York. And this is what she says. She does a devotion to St. Bridget called the 15 Prayers of St. Bridget. This devotion has multiple promises if you say it. Margaret read on the internet some controversy regarding this devotion. Do you, Father, have any comment regarding this?
I may have heard it, but I'm not familiar with it. I'm trying to pull it up right now on the internet. So here are 15 prayers.
Well, see, Father's looking at. Father, while you're looking at that, I'll just give out everyone the phone number again. 877-511-5483 is how you can call and ask Father your question or make a comment about devotions or about anything about our faith. You can also email us. The email is cac@thestationofthecross.com. What have you found out, Father?
Well, on this one website called marypages.com, it says she received these 15 prayers. This is St. Bridget of Sweden, in the Church of St. Paul in Rome, and these prayers were approved by Pope Pius IX. Now, I don't know what the promises are, and it's the same with, let's say, the promises of devotion to the Sacred Heart. we have to put them in perspective, and oftentimes they're pulled out of the context. And we might look at these practices as almost superstitious. As long as I do them, I'm going to get whatever the popular promise is. That can come down to sort of a magical approach. Let me give you an example of that, which really borders on superstition and has to do with the devotion to the Sacred Heart through that St. Margaret Mary Alacoque gave us. Now, the basic sense of that is that if we're faithful in doing that devotion, that we will have what we need at the end of our life to ask for forgiveness of our sins, whatever. And a lot of people interpret it as meaning there will be a priest available when I die so that I can receive absolution. Well, you know, some people, and there was a story told of some priest from Rochester getting on a plane in Puerto Rico. They didn't have their collars on. One sat next to a woman who was praying the rosary. He got engaged with her. And she said, you know, Father, whenever I get on a plane, I always look to see if there are any priests on the plane, because if there are, that could mean that I'm going to die. And the priest sitting next to her said, well, actually, there are 5 priests on this plane right now. And I don't think she was too happy to hear it, because she thought, oh, well, maybe this is going to mean my death. But making this connection in such a way that you're either afraid or you think you're free, as long as something doesn't happen, like there's obviously not a priest on the plane with you. I can't die because the promises. Well, that's not what the promises are about. The promises are that in whatever way necessary, we will have what we need to be reconciled to God. And as I say, at the basis of all of this is first and foremost God's love for us, that he is not going to take us when we least expect it, but rather he's always going to give us the opportunity, and we need to take advantage of that to be in good stead with Christ and the church. Now, what the controversy is about the St. Bridget prayers, I don't know. I don't see that here. I'm sure if people want to Google that, they can find out about that. But it says here, I will deliver 15 souls of his lineage from purgatory. 15 souls of his lineage will be confirmed and preserved in grace, so forth and so on. It's a long, long, long list of promises. So I don't know what the controversy is about that. But again, with all of these devotions, I think people sometimes gravitate to them because it seems easy, quick, to the point. But every single day, we're called to grow in our faith. Take nothing for granted, but always look for ways to willingly grow in our faith, proclaim the gospel message, suffer if suffering comes along. Best thing of all, if you can do it, go to daily Mass. As I say, that Mass is the central devotion of the Church. So it really doesn't answer the full question there, but I think if people want to Google some more on that, they can get some of the details of whatever controversies there are.
Father, we have a call from Kathy in Honolulu Falls, New York. Kathy, you're on with Father Mike.
Father Mike.
Kathy, if you could turn your phone down. If you could turn your radio down, I mean.
Oh, turn my radio down?
Yes.
I made the dog stop barking, too. I got totally distracted by your last caller. This isn't what I was calling to talk about, but I used to say the 15 prayers to St. Bridget every day, and I have to tell you that the rewards are amazing. I did it for, well, anyway, the rewards are amazing is all I could say right now. But I wanted to talk about the devotion of going to Eucharistic adoration. I only tuned in about 20 after 4, so I don't know what you've talked about already. Maybe you've already mentioned that.
I was saying next to the Eucharist, it's probably the best devotion because it directly comes from the Eucharist, because the body of Christ that is in the monstrance or in the tabernacle, that's there because of the Eucharist, because of the sacrament. So it's a wonderful devotion.
a wonderful devotion. And it was while, actually, when I started doing Eucharistic Adoration, that I picked, there's reading materials sometimes there, that I had picked up a magazine talking about rosary rallies. And I heard one of your other callers just mention the rosary rally in Honeywell Falls, which I am actually leading. We've been doing it the last 4 years. And this year there's should be over 7,000 rosary rallies, just saying the rosary in public places all over America, whether it be one or two people or a whole lot of people. And at ours last year, as the caller that called in, you mentioned, we had a living rosary, and we have a tremendous a need for children who will participate in this. So if anybody's interested,
wonderful. Wonderful.
One in Honey I Falls, we will, they could, give me a call. But
wonderful.
And I also say there's always a need for adorers at Eucharistic Adoration, and just I can't tell you the benefits that are it received in my life from it.
Wonderful.
So
that's the wonderful witness. Thank you.
Yeah, sure thing. Bye bye. Thank you for thank you. Bye bye.
You're welcome. God bless.
Thank you very much for calling, Kathy. Go ahead, Father.
Two things that came to my mind. One was St. John Vianney used to sit in the presence of the Blessed Sacrament, and supposedly someone asked, well, what do you say or do? And he said, well, I look at him, and he looks at me. Very, you know, we don't have to be doing anything just to sit there because we are in the presence of the Almighty God. Now, of course, we're always in the presence of Almighty God. But in the Blessed Sacrament, it's a physical presence which can really, really pull us in. And there's another story which I'm drawing a blank. It is a woman mystic who died in the 50s in Great Britain. And she, her autobiography was Rocking Horse Catholic. Boy, her name just escapes me all of a sudden. But she tells a story of after Mass one day talking to the priest, and she said, I was running somebody down. I was criticizing them. She looked up at him, and he had his eyes closed, and she said, Father, you're not listening to me. And he said, how can I listen to that when somewhere in the world the consecration bell is ringing at Mass? I thought, what a wonderful insight that at every moment, if you think about it, because there are Catholics all over the world celebrating the Eucharist, at every moment, the sacrament of the Eucharist is being celebrated. And that's why I would call that the most basic spirituality or devotion. And if we really think about it, we're always in the presence of the Eucharist because, you know, you can't contain a sacrament that is God in a church. So if we always think of somewhere right now, the words of consecration are being said somewhere in the world. And if it's the practice of bell is being rung as the host is elevated, or the cup, the chalice is elevated. What a wonderful way of kind of stopping us in our tracks when perhaps we are doing something that is cruel or mean. But there again, a wonderful devotion, whether it's just sitting in front of the tabernacle in the presence of the Lord, or remembering that somewhere in the world at every moment, the Eucharist or all the sacraments probably are being celebrated somewhere in some way.
You're listening to Calling All Catholics. It's Father Mike Mayer. He's talking about devotions, but you can call about anything you want. And the number is 877-511-5483. That's 877-511-LIVE. We'd love to hear your questions about the Catholic faith or your comments. Also, you can email us, cac@thestationofthecross.com, or post your question or comment on Facebook at the Station of the Cross Catholic Radio. And speaking of Facebook, we have Karen, who wrote on Facebook, Father, and she asks, what's the best way to make sure that a personal devotion doesn't have any New Age overtones?
That's a very good question. I would say make sure it's approved by the Church. And the Church, you can go to any number of, you go to EWTN, go to, there's a very good website called fisheaters.com that you can check things out at. But lots of stuff on the internet. Check out the devotions. and simply make sure that they are approved by the church. And there are just hundreds of them, obviously. So I think that's the best way to do it. And I would say as you go into that devotion, if it particularly speaks to you, if you're attracted to it, if it's something that at this time in your life really is helpful, ask yourself why. And you can kind of evaluate it too. Is it pulling me closer to Christ? Is it deepening my trust in the Lord? Do I have a sense of peace in saying this? Is it changing? Is my life changing as a result of it? Is it affecting my life? Am I being more patient? Am I being more kind, more loving, more forgiving? So I think those are indications, too, that once we found out the devotion is approved by the church and we practice it, that there should be some kind of noticeable changes in us. And that's why to take the devotion not just as a rote sort of thing, but to take the time with it so that we can really listen to what that devotion is trying to tell us and focus our attention on bringing us closer to Christ.
Father, we have a prayer request from Dennis. He writes on Facebook, Father, can you please pray for me? I have been going through a very lengthy and hurtful divorce. I ask for peace and strength. I don't think I have been lower as far as feelings. Thank you.
Oh, what a trial to go through. Lord, bless Dennis, bless his wife, bless his family, bless all those involved in this divorce. Let your love shine through it, that all those may find the healing they need, the strength they need, and the peace they need to move through this in a way that will draw them closer to you. Help them, all the parties, to take responsibility for their actions, to be forgiving, to think of one another as they move through this very difficult time in their lives. And Blessed Mother, bless them as they move through this too, so that they may know the peace that you had in your family, your holy family. We ask all these things through Christ our Lord.
Amen. Well, Father, we've talked about adoration and the rosary, and we've mentioned the Chaplet of Divine Mercy, all rather popular among mm-hmm. many Catholics. Mm-hmm. Do you have any favorites that maybe many people haven't heard of?
Oh, geez, I probably don't, but it'd be interesting to hear. Well, actually, I'm sure I'd heard of the 15 prayers of St. Bridget, but I really don't know a lot about that. So that's one right there. The one that came to my mind when I was thinking of this whole thing was Devotion to the Sacred Heart, and specifically how St. Margaret Mary Alacoque promoted that. And now she's not the inventor of Devotion to the Sacred Heart. St. Gertrude the Great focused on the heart of Jesus, St. Mechtilde of Helfta, and then an earlier saint, St. Lutgard. And, of course, now, I never heard of St. Lutgard. I heard saint of St. Mechtilde and St. Gertrude, wonderful, wonderful mystical women who had these insights. And it's interesting, as I was reading up on this, among some Orthodox, they don't like this devotion to the Sacred Heart, because they're saying it's focusing on the human, so to speak. Although for me, I'm thinking, wow, this is a wonderful way to talk about the love of God and the heart being, certainly an imagery and metaphor and symbol, the focus of our life, our physical life, but also in our spiritual sense, we think of the heart as the center of our salvation, and I mean that in the sense of Jesus Christ, whose heart was pierced, side was pierced for us, and out of that came blood and water, the birth of the church. We think of the Sacred Heart of Mary and the images of that heart having being pierced with seven swords, the crown of thorns around the heart of Christ. I think these are very powerful images that rather than drawing us into kind of a earth-based focus on the love of God, really pull us up, because that's where we're supposed to be too, in the sense of willingly suffering on behalf of others and joining in that. and certainly what St. Margaret Mary Alacoque, the revelation she had from Christ. And I emphasize these are personal revelations, I might say private revelations. They add nothing to the deposit of faith, but rather can be accessories, so to speak, or ways of deepening the faith that was revealed to us through the apostles. So to me, the Sacred Heart, devotion to the Sacred Heart is a wonderful devotion, whether it's the Sacred Heart of Jesus, Sacred Heart of Mary, to both. You know, it really goes to, not to make a pun, the heart of our faith, the love of God, the heart that was pierced, Christ's heart pierced for our salvation.
Father, we have a question from Megan. She writes on Facebook, Father, in many of the Marian apparitions, Fatima comes to mind. Mary said she was interceding for us and calming the Lord's anger at humanity. Is there anyone specific that this refers to? Would someone who has a hard time accepting faith but prays to believe be included in this wrath?
Well, that's interesting. I know the some of the apparitions in Medjugorje talk about Mary holding back the anger of Christ. It'd be interesting to find out what the Church has said about that, because I don't know if the meaning of that is very, very specific or otherwise, because I think you can get the impression that somehow Mary has power over her son, and that would not be, I would say, Orthodox Catholic teaching. It is Jesus who is our peace. He died for us. So when talking about the wrath and anger of God, I would have to do some more reading about that, because it can get confusing. And that's what I meant before sometimes, where we go to Mary thinking we can't go to Christ because he's angry with us. And yet we believe that Christ is always there. He's always the good shepherd with his arms open to us. Mercy really goes to the heart of all this. You think of the devotion, Divine Mercy devotion. It's all about Jesus Christ and his mercy. So for me, it's the mercy of God. But we also have to be honest, too, and say we're talking about mercy that is bluntly honest, judgment that is bluntly honest, that we're not going to put one over on God. But yet God is always there offering us his forgiveness and his mercy. So when we come to those Marian apparitions, and the Church approves some, doesn't approve of others, we always have to put it in context. Again, it's personal revelation or private revelation. It adds nothing to the deposit of faith. That is what we have to believe, what we need to believe for salvation. So to put it in that context, can put a different spin on things. So always to put it within the context of the overarching, let's say, what's included in the Nicene Creed, the basic teachings of the Church, and which we have to believe, as opposed to what we don't have to accept.
I think, Father, we should look at Mary as the mother Jesus gave us, the perfect mm-hmm. mother he created. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. when she says she's interceding, it really is... ultimately, Jesus saying, I gave you a mother, my own mother, mm-hmm. to pray for you and intercede for you and offer her perfect prayers. That's why a lot of this mercy comes, because she's praying for you.
Absolutely. And we're called to be intercessors, too, prayer intercessors for other people. So when people say, would you pray for me? Yeah, we do. We do. And that's part of our call. You know, we pray in reparation for something. You know, it's not just a nice thought. We really believe that through prayer, which is relating to God, asking God for his forgiveness and mercy, etc., that we do have a role to play in the repairing of the world, of the building up of the kingdom of God. We're not powerless. We have a lot of power because of what God is giving us through the many graces, through the sacraments of the Church.
Exactly. I just, you know, when you think about how they work together, Mary and Jesus, you know, that last question, and it's very common, seems to almost put them at odds with one another. Like they're you know, one wants wrath and the other one's, you know, like a human mom holding back their anger her son.
That's right. And personally, that does not sit well with me, because it's not Mary. It is Jesus who is the source of all mercy. He is mercy. He is peace. He is all of those things. And Mary knows that and is trying to get our attention for that. So that's why I say, while we talk about the wrath of God through some of these apparitions, you know, that may speak very specifically to certain people. And maybe they need to hear that in a particular way. But always to remember, it's always focusing on God's love and mercy that was proven to us on the cross through his death, his suffering, his death, his resurrection. If that doesn't prove his love for us, his mercy for us, nothing can. So that's why I say we always have to, as the church says, the Eucharist is the heart of any devotion, personal or private, and we always need to keep that in mind. That's always focusing on Jesus Christ.
Well, Father, we've come to an end of another awesome show. Would you give us a prayer and a final blessing?
Loving God, continue to deepen our relationship with you, our relationship with Mary, with the communion of saints, with the angels, with our brothers and sisters, so that one day we may join you around the heavenly table and rejoice forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Join me and Father Rick Bablocki tomorrow at 4 o'clock for Calling All Catholics Open Forum. Have a great evening. Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to this podcast brought to you by the Station of the Cross. The Station of the Cross is a listener-funded nonprofit organization. If this podcast has helped you in your spiritual journey, please consider making a donation today. Donations can be made through our website, thestationofthecross.com, or by calling 1-877-888-6279. Thank you for listening to and supporting the Station of the Cross, proclaiming the fullness of truth with clarity and charity.